Ready, set, go!
This is the Checkpoint XP Podcast. Check out our international radio show and daily podcast at checkpointxp.com. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into the Checkpoint XP podcast on B-Pod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. Exclusive, uncensored, and extended conversations from the nationally syndicated crew of the Checkpoint XP radio show. This show name is set to change at some point. We promise. Yeah, we're still working on that part of it. It will become Checkpoint AFK, but this is the show where we talk about things that aren't video games or video game adjacent topics.
Right. Yeah.
Talk about lifestyle sort of topics here on the Checkpoint XP podcast. However, we normally reserve this first segment.
Oh,
here we go again.
No, for Apple Podcast
hold
reviews.
Hold on. I have one. I do.
You don't get to review the show.
No. Not as an I have review.
I'm like, what, Robbie, don't it does clip, not count if you do it.
Don't clip the host, man.
Sorry. Continue, Nate.
Well, God. I'm glad Robbie has a review to share with us today, but I have another one.
Oh, thank you.
We have.
Okay.
An
Regis Philbin ass.
You've done this to me a couple of times during actual segments on the show, so I do not want to hear it at all from you.
Yeah, I do that sometimes.
Some of those list readings.
Oh, yeah.
Swear to
every
God.
Time. No. Every time.
Anyway. Today's review comes to us from Samson 215215.
I want to talk to Samson.
What's that from?
Half Baked.
Is it? Oh my God. Oh, you're right. That was Dave Chappelle's character, right?
It was.
So yes, today's review comes to us from Samson 215215. Five star review.
Hey.
So thank you for the 5 stars. And he says, I'm sick of being yelled at.
Good. It's
good.
Working.
All right.
It means that what we're doing is working. It
means we will continue
Robbie,
to yell.
Was your review more substantive?
Hey, No. I'm not. That was just the title.
Oh. I thought that was the whole thing.
No.
Which that would have been great.
Samson 215215 says, hey, guys, love the show. I found the show by accident on ESPN 97.5.
Yes, that is the best way.
I love hearing that.
That lets us know people are listening.
Yeah, by mistake.
Still a listener.
I find your discussions thought-provoking and interesting. You guys actually inspired me to start my own podcast and hope to have the same success as y'all.
Well, now you're competition, Sam, so you should have stayed in your damn lane.
I hope y'all continue with the great success. By the way, what happened to Norris dressing up for a certain number of reviews? You guys are so far behind that.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't mentioned it because we're nowhere near.
And I'm pretty sure Halloween was the deadline.
Yeah, we're six days from Halloween, and you guys got a few to go yet. So
155 reviews of the Checkpoint XP podcast.
250. I think you need to get to 200 for the Checkpoint XP podcast, and I think it was
50 for the Daily Show.
And the Daily Show sitting at 48. So,
well, yeah, look, the Daily Show might make it.
I mean, yeah. So what, are you going to do a half costume?
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Fine.
If they get those two dailies by Halloween, we'll do diva makeup on you for a day. How about that?
All right, fuck it.
So, all right. There you go.
The little pink...
I like
things.
Two reviews. We just need two reviews over on the Checkpoint XP Daily Podcast. But you know what? We'll take two reviews on this show as well.
Yes, please.
You can do that by searching Checkpoint XP on Apple Podcasts. It's the only podcast platform that allows you to review, and it helps other people find the show. So you do actually help us out quite a bit by going and reviewing Checkpoint XP or Checkpoint XP Daily. Also, Checkpoint XP on campus.
That's right.
is officially available on iTunes.
That's right. I listened to it. Oh, man, the show.
Or
the
Apple Podcasts, I should say. Show, it's not iTunes anymore.
The show this week was so good.
It's a very good show. Tell everyone what was on this week's Checkpoint
XP
podcast. Yeah,
so this week we talked about the Washington Post did a feature piece on Harrisburg University, which has become one of the best esports programs in the country in like a year and a half. This is their second year as an esports program.
Wow.
A fairly new university as well. So they definitely have taken it to the next level. And we talked to two Hearthstone players from American University who took part in that big Hong Kong protest that got them suspended from
there you go.
Hearthstone.
So if you want the latest in collegiate esports news, headlines, and discussion, make sure you subscribe to Checkpoint XP on Campus. That is also now available at Apple Podcasts. But again, leave us reviews for any of those shows. All you got to do is search Checkpoint XP on Apple Podcasts
and so, on Spotify.
It's available in a number of different places. I'm just saying that the only place we can get reviews back.
So this other review that we got, they had a problem leaving it on iTunes, so they had left it on YouTube, and then I told them to send it to me. It's a long one, though. Do we want to do it today, or do we want to save it?
Yeah, whatever.
No, you know what? At the pace that we have been getting Apple Podcast reviews, I feel like maybe we should set that one aside.
Okay.
I think that's fair. Then. We'll read it next week.
We'll read it next week.
Because remind me, because I'm likely to forget about it.
I have a feeling that when I go to look next week that...
They're gonna let us down.
Yeah.
We're going to have to yelp again.
Yeah, we're gonna get frustrated. Don't make us have to yell at you. We
love you. Don't make us hurt you.
We only hurt you because we love you.
Yeah.
That is not that. No, absolutely not.
Listen, I'm going to go get a pillowcase and fill it full of oranges.
No.
Okay.
No.
Put some potatoes in there too for a little bit of different consistency.
Cans of tuna fish.
That will kill somebody.
Maybe.
They should have left a review, Joseph.
See, that's why you use fruit, because it doesn't leave bruises. Yeah. So say
it. Yeah, I was going to say, like,
Bing Crosby.
Yeah, I've heard that before, but I got to tell you something. I don't know that I believe in that.
You know what?
Bing Crosby, I'm pretty sure, was the one who...
Mr. Blinks in the chat has said, and the reason Nate is still single baffles us all.
Leave us some Apple Podcast reviews so that we can read it here on the show, and we don't have to turn back into the heel version of this segment where we just yell at you the whole time. So coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Martin Scorsese has been talking a whole bunch of mess.
Him and Francis Ford Coppola.
Has been talking even more mess.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Francis jumped in on this too?
Oh, did you sure not did. Hear that?
I did.
Oh. Yeah, Franny C. He's in on it.
We'll talk about it. No one's ever called him that ever.
Franny C.
Franny C.
No, I like it.
That's what I'm calling him from now on.
Yeah.
Until he takes that shit back.
Yeah, I guess.
And Marty Score, baby. There we go.
Marty Score, baby.
As long as we're just being completely irreverent with their names, why not just go all the way with it?
Yeah, for sure.
We're going to talk about their dumb comments coming up today here on the Checkpoint XP podcast. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP,
esports and gaming radio.
CheckpointXP.com.
Wow. Welcome back to the Checkpoint XP podcast on B-Pod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. Before we get into the discussion real quick, I want to remind you guys to make sure you check out some of the other great shows on B-Pod Studios. Nerd Radio and Geek Culture Congress are two shows you can find not just on B-Pod Studios, but also streaming live at our Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Make sure you subscribe to them. Check them out over at B-Pod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. Are we really that surprised that men as old as Martin Scorsese and Francis Ford Coppola don't understand superhero movies? Because these two famous windbags have been out there on social media or in the media or wherever the hell, I don't know. Wherever
you can talk to them.
Yeah, they've been talking about superhero movies as if they shouldn't be mentioned in the same breath as their great work.
I'm not surprised that they think this way. I'm surprised that they're as disrespectful about it as they were.
Yeah, I'll say this, because it's one thing to feel how you'll feel about it. I mean, I can understand why certain people want to make the distinction between clear fucking Oscar bait ass movies and Marvel movies, or let's just say big budget action flicks, Marvel movies, fast movies.
Your summer blockbusters.
Summer blockbusters, whatever, right? But I still think, as Robbie said, the level of disrespect, though, that goes into it, because at the bare minimum, when you hear people poo-poo certain genres, there's still usually a backhanded sort of like, but the people who work on them are really great, and, you know, that's still our industry, and they're pushing the boundaries of effects and all this stuff. There's usually something to go along with it, and both of these guys basically were like, it's not cinema.
Let me give you the quotes here real quick.
Yes, please.
So Scorsese started it all off, and he said, I don't see them. I tried, you know, but that's not cinema. Honestly, the closest I can think of them, as well-made as they are, with actors doing the best they can under the circumstances. There's your backhanded comment.
Under the circumstances, as if these motherfuckers is bumming.
Yeah.
No, dude, they counting them checks, yeah, bro.
Friday the 13th was the best you could do under the circumstances. What the hell?
He says the closest he can compare them to is theme parks. He goes, it isn't the cinema of human beings trying to convey emotional, psychological experiences to another human being. And then he followed that comment up a few days later, saying that Marvel movies should not even be allowed in cinemas.
Like in a theater?
Yeah.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
That is literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
They only make a bajillion dollars.
Are you just trying to ruin the industry that basically made you?
First, talk about an already dying industry. Theaters are struggling as is.
And that's the thing. Like, I'm the dude that watches most of my superhero movies on planes. I'm like almost the last person that you would see going to a superhero movie in the theater.
You have literally made the distinction that I will watch this movie if I'm trapped at 35,000 feet in the air for 3+ hours.
And almost under no other circumstances.
right? Exactly.
Yeah. No, but that's the thing, though, is that, like, how can you look at, like, when you look at this objectively, how can you go, well, they shouldn't be in movie theaters because of how much damn business they do? Like, honestly, the financial aspect of that alone would have put AMC theaters out of business years ago.
Hold on. First of all, okay, because I had to go back, because I know there are certain things that Scorsese made that I love, you know. Raising Bull, The Color of Money, Goodfellas, all that stuff. Gangs of New York. But this is also the same motherfucker who made, like, The Aviator and, like, you know,
all right,
Hugo.
All right, first
so
of all,
it's like, so the fact that, you know,
people, Shutter Island.
Yeah, people are not beating down the door to go see your fucking movies. And so here's what makes me sort of angry is because it invalidates an argument or a stance that I can somewhat understand, which is the argument of, yes, comic book films fundamentally are there to convey something else other than, you know, these sort of
just raw human emotion.
Human emotion. Where if I go and I go to watch something like, I don't know, fucking Pride and Prejudice or something like that, right? I know I'm going to try to see some acting. That's what I'm going to say. Or I go to a play. I'm going to see some acting ass acting.
Some Meryl Streep level shit.
Meryl Streep level shit. I want to see somebody do all. I want to see somebody bust out crying for no reason.
Pop a vein in their head.
Pop a vein. I want to see all kinds of really great emotive acting.
That's why Norris hates Paul Rudd.
Yes.
We figured it out.
But
you ain't getting that from Paul
Rudd. He doesn't want somebody on screen that's just like, I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. What's up? But I'm not going to a Marvel movie for any of that.
No,
I'm going to see superhero shit.
No, and that's why Scorsese's upset, because if it wasn't for superhero shit, you'd be going and watching more of his stuff.
No, I wouldn't, because I didn't go to the movies before the superhero shit.
Ooh. And that's really it, because he doesn't have a problem with superhero movies. He has a problem with them being incredibly popular.
Yep, same reason that Jennifer Aniston came out and made comments about how she wishes there were more movies like Love Actually that she could act in. That's beside the point. I have two things to say to Martin.
Yeah, no one else wishes that there were more movies like Love Actually.
Yeah. So two things with Martin. The first reason that I can't take anything that he says seriously is before he was in the headlines for this, he was in the headlines for criticizing Netflix movies for being up for awards. Says they have no place there. But the Academy came out and goes, actually, they do. And now he has The Irishman coming out on Netflix soon. His very first Netflix movie.
Yeah, well, because Netflix threw the bag at him. And again, that's why it all boils down to people's pocketbooks and their own self-interest. And that's why this comment is stupid.
But here's the thing, though, is that like the types of movies that Scorsese and even Coppola were making, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago, are not the types of movies that if they were in theaters now, people would be flocking to go see.
No.
And that is, I think, really where their ego ends up, winds up getting bruised, and really where the emotive part of this comes from, is they know that if they, you know, if Scorsese had made Taxi Driver in 2019,
it'd be called The Joker, and it would make tons of fucking money. So
here's the thing, though, and what you're getting at, exactly. As much as I love the movie Goodfellas, I think it's an incredible movie, but I'm telling you, if that movie comes out in 2019, it's not nearly as popular as it was when it came out in
2019. But dude, that's the same of all
films. Who's seeing Raging Bull in 2019?
No one.
Come on.
But the thing is that's true of all film. It's not necessarily something that's true of those types of movies.
Right.
People are going to these theaters because the big budget action film experience is best experienced in a theater.
Well, but also to that point, you can still have those and the type of experiences that they're talking about can still be in those. You take Gangs of New York, you make it today and set it in the X-Men universe. How is that movie any different? Except it's fucking better now.
No, I don't know if you can make Gangs of New York too much better.
I have no idea what the hell you are talking about.
Same thing, but people have mutant abilities.
No, that's Robbie. Shut up.
No, that's awesome.
Anyway.
No,
but
what the fuck are you talking about?
It's not even a real point.
That's a horrible point.
My point.
I can't just let that go.
No, isn't that a terrible point?
It is terrible.
But I'm pointing this way. I'm turning my chair and pointing this way at Joe and Nate. But the whole thing is that. If this is really the crux of the argument and this is why they're upset, then why are they not pointing their ire at Netflix, Amazon, HBO, all these other at-home video on-demand services?
They can't.
Because
they can't.
Because that is where the vast majority of content consumerism is going.
Well, yeah.
People are not going to the movie theaters because they can get movie level shit at home.
Right. And there's a couple of very important points that you brought up in there. The first is that you're right. Things like these huge, elaborate blockbusters, you know, 15, 20 years ago, they were like Jurassic Park or, you know what I mean? Lord of the Rings. Right. Like it's still like that kind of like that same space that superhero films largely inhabit today. And you can kind of put, you know, Star Wars or any of these huge
sci-fi and fantasy
spectacle movies in there. Yeah. Right. So, you know, the movies like, you know, your Taxi Driver or your Raging Bull, they work just as well delivered in a home format through streaming. Mm-hmm. And the reason that you don't see Francis Ford Coppola or Martin Scorsese going after those services is really those services are saving their jobs. Mm-hmm. Because if it, you know, like if the theaters die and movies stop getting made, what do they do? No one's paying them yep. an exorbitant amount of money to make their art anymore.
Yeah.
They just become another one of the unwashed masses flocking to YouTube to hope that people watch their dumb shit.
Well, which is why I think this whole argument is misguided. It's not, first of all, Marvel movies, as Joe pointed out, are one of the main reasons why people are even going to theaters. Marvel
multiple
films,
times.
Marvel films and horror films, period. That's it. That's what people are going for. Even, Star Wars, Marvel films, horror films.
I put family films on this.
Horror films, I'm not even sure about.
But they
kids movies, I think, do better than horror films.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I think you're saying that literally because we're in October.
No, I'm saying that because stuff like It was so huge and, a few other films over the course of time.
I think you can kind of put that into the same category as like a summer blockbuster.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of times the biggest horror movies now do come out over the summer. The two biggest months for horror movies, I believe, is August and December.
Yeah.
Or it's either December or January. Most horror movies don't come out in October.
It's actually, you're right, because a lot of horror movies either come out around Christmas for some
right around Christmas.
Fucking reason.
Yep.
Because people spend money.
Yeah. And I think I don't know, August. I think it's actually July.
It's July.
Yeah. It's either July or August. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
It's the summer. People are walking around and also spending money.
But exactly.
There are very few movies that are worth going to see in the theater. And it's because the home viewing experience has gotten so good. It's the same problem that traditional sports leagues are facing nowadays.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Why the hell am I going to pay money to go sit around people? Have you been around people? They're awful.
I mean,
the worst.
Honestly, think about the last couple of theater experiences that we've had and then brought to the show. I mean, goddamn, I had a dude remove his shoes. One of you guys had a dude remove his shoes and socks.
Yep. Yeah, I had a guy open his pants.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
so, I mean,
exactly.
It's terrible. Dude.
Unless there is a major selling point for going to a theater, like something like Endgame, right? Avengers mm-hmm. Endgame. See it in theater. Find the best IMAX experience, and not just
the IMAX experience, the collective experience.
Yeah, right.
Star Wars, total collective experience.
Right.
You want to go because a bunch of people are going to be there that love it just as much as you, and you're going to experience something collectively. And the part that, you know, about Netflix and all that stuff is, you know, the film Roma came out on Netflix.
That,
gorgeous.
That was the one that Scorsese was like, shouldn't be getting awards because it was made on Netflix.
Absolutely ridiculous. Gorgeous, awesome, beautifully crafted film.
But take a movie like La La Land, right? Objectively a great movie. Mm-hmm. Why the hell would you go see it in theaters? What are you honestly getting out of seeing it in theaters that you wouldn't get at home?
Nothing.
Yeah, that's it.
Nothing.
That's the point.
And that's what I'm saying. Roma had a limited run in theaters, and I didn't go see it in theaters because I knew it wouldn't add anything to the film.
Dude, you can only sell $3,000 home entertainment systems to people for so long before they go, well, it's almost just as good here. Like, why am I bothering to pay $19 a ticket to go see it at a theater? You're right. It's the collective experience. It's the feeling, the wanting. There's an element of FOMO in there.
Yeah.
You know,
if it weren't for summer blockbusters, the movie theater would be dead.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
I mean, you could show Francis Ford Coppola and Martin Scorsese movies in theaters back to back across the fucking country.
Yeah.
If you don't have, you know, Endgame or you know, the latest Marvel movie, yeah, there's no way.
Listen,
do they honestly think that their work is somehow so much more worthy of
I can answer
being
that
exhibited?
The answer is yes.
They absolutely believe that. We forgot Coppola's comment that he had made after Scorsese.
He says
Martin was being kind when he said it wasn't cinema. He didn't say it was despicable, which is what I say. He actually says the Marvel movies and blockbusters are despicable.
And see, to me, if...
Okay, all right, Coppola, make a fucking good movie after 1997 and we'll talk.
Well, and not just that, why would you come out and say these things? Because, first of all, Marvel films have had some of the best actors of our generation in all of them. You know what I mean? A person like Tilda Swinton, right? Yeah. You know, yellow face aside. But let's take somebody like Tilda Swinton, who everybody admits is an amazing actor, amazing character actor, amazing method actor, right? Will fully commit to whatever role that she's involved in, right? Who, by the way, if Moira from Overwatch ever had to be played by anybody...
Oh, it's her hands down.
It's Tilda Swinton. But you really think that somebody like her, who takes her craft very seriously, would then want to work with somebody who says that Marvel films are despicable and yet you have played a major role in them? I think it's the most short-sighted shit, because if I'm
Robert
in a Marvel
Downey
film,
I think owes the resurgence of his career to Marvel.
But if
movies.
I'm in a Marvel film, why would I ever want to go and work with any of these cats? Because I sat there and secured this hellified bag from these Marvel films, and now my career is on a whole nother plateau because of it.
I'm of the opinion that, listen, these guys are so old and have a track record of making shitty films for the last 10 years. Why would I want to work with Francis Ford Coppola in 2019?
You know what it feels
Francis
like?
Francis Ford Coppola was the executive producer on Jeepers Creepers 2. Don't talk to me about despicable filmmaking.
Shut up, Francis.
For real.
And I hate to say this about somebody from Michigan, but shut up.
The last movie that he made, that he directed, that I enjoyed... was The Rainmaker in 1997 that had Matt Damon and Danny DeVito in it, and it was about lawyers. You're going to get 50-50 on that from most people.
Yeah, because the last one for me was Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yes, Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Which, I mean, a great movie. I love it. But
actually,
But if you haven't made anything relevant, and it's not like he hasn't made anything since then, we've got Distant Vision, Twixt, Tetro, Youth Without Youth, Jack? Really? You made Jack and you want to talk to me about cinema?
Listen, I go on a limb and say after Dracula, his daughter's the better filmmaker.
Oh, God, yeah.
Even before Dracula, she was probably the better filmmaker.
Daughter's the better filmmaker,
I got to look up what Scorsese has made recently.
I think he did The Departed, which
he did The Departed.
Is amazing,
yeah,
objectively.
Great movie. That's fair.
So, The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I love that, too.
Wolf of Wall Street. I mean, Shutter Island did okay, but I thought it was goddamn garbage.
That. Dude, I called the plot twist in that from the freaking previews and was like, I have no need to go and watch it now.
You're right. He did Gangs of New York. He also did The Aviator, which was objectively really
terrible,
really bad.
Martin Scorsese looks like older Eugene Levy, if that's possible.
Yeah, that's accurate.
He looks like Eugene Levy's dad, doesn't he?
He
looks like Eugene Levy's older brother.
Yeah.
There you go. But I think this just stems to this whole concept and this whole thing of what it feels like a greater thing that's happening in society, and I hate to say this, of like this baby boom generation refusing to let go of anything.
No, there is some old man yelling at clouds here.
But not just that, is that I think that there's something very special about this generation in particular, because there's a natural old people wanting to hang on to what they know and young people bringing in some new shit. That is the ebb and flow of everything, right? What is old will become new once more, and what is new will become old. And the thing is that it feels like in this day and time, more and more a unwillingness for this generation to seed anything or say anything positive about anything anyone younger than them is doing.
Yeah.
And it is incredibly fucking frustrating when Marvel films and young filmmakers... Dude, if you want to tell me that Ryan Coogler didn't do anything fucking special with Black Panther, fuck you.
Dude, one of my favorite pictures that came out of Captain Marvel was that little girl standing in front of the cardboard cutout, just like reaching up towards it. And saying, it's like, tell me this doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Screw you guys.
And it's the fact that the only thing you've done was make other fucking Italian dudes feel great.
Well, this
like that was it.
This feels an awful lot like this had to be what it was like in like the 30s and 40s when sound started coming in and you had a bunch of actors who went out of work because they couldn't
Because they had voice, shit voices.
They had a terrible voice. This has got to be exactly what that was like,
but,
right?
But the difference is that I feel like there was still a certain level of, no, who doesn't want to hear it? You know what I mean? Like, people just went, of course I want to hear what they're saying instead of having to fucking read it. Yeah, yeah. I want to hear it. Yeah, I want it in color.
Yeah,
yeah, but like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want special effects. Why wouldn't I? Like, these are all logical things. And now that the technology has finally caught up to the ability for us to recreate some of the stories that we've loved for generations.
Right. This isn't 2002 where if you do the special effects, it's going to look like ass.
Right. Yeah.
Those days have passed.
Yeah.
Now we literally all watched the trailer for Captain Marvel and went, hey, they can finally do a Dragon Ball Z movie. We can finally have a Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
Because it looks good now.
And that has no place in theaters, Joe.
Clearly it doesn't.
But that's, listen, that's, I think that that is such a lazy argument to go, oh, well, it, you know, just because I didn't grow up with it or I didn't pay it any attention or give it any value, to say that it has no value for other people or audiences when, listen, people vote with their wallet.
Yeah, the money that they make.
The money is undeniable.
Yeah, the money that it makes basically is a fuck you to, all, to both of these statements.
Which, even,
by the way,
dude,
which you can't do that.
Even DC movies do okay enough that they keep making them.
Better than anything in terms of box office that any either one of them has made in the past decade.
Dude, this is such a, it's such a, like, it's so obvious that that's a personal axe that they're grinding.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you wanted Franny C to call Marvel movies, you know, despicable, literally you could have gone the easy route and just said they're made by Disney. Like, if you want to go that route, no one can argue that. Disney's evil.
But
sure.
The point is, but the point is, it's still such a garbage and trash argument. And I'm sorry, these films can't make that much money and not also be loved by the people who love your movies too.
The best picture I saw of it was Statler and Waldorf from The Muppets, and it just has Coppola and Scorsese written under it. I'm like, yep, that's what's happening.
100%.
Pretty much. Except where Statler and Waldorf were usually making fun of things that were actually bad. They're not.
Fair enough. All right, we're going to take a break here on the Checkpoint XP podcast. When we come back, we're actually going to figure out what we're going to talk about during the break. So you'll find out when we come back here in a moment on the Checkpoint XP podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to the Checkpoint XP podcast on B-Pod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. Before we continue on with our discussion about Marvel movies, I want to remind you that we do have a shop where you can pick up tons of Checkpoint XP swag. We've got the stuff for Checkpoint XP, Low Team Damage, the other identity. Plus, we've got an exclusive design that's available only through the end of the month, so make sure you get it. They're 8-bit versions of us.
They're really cute.
I know.
Check them out.
Yeah, check it out.
Unlike us.
CheckpointXP.com/shop. Okay, so now that we have thoroughly
discredited the old dudes.
I was going to say assaulted the elderly.
All right, that's fine too. Yeah.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Now that might sound wrong when we play that one back.
No, we kicked the canes over, baby. It's time to roll.
Damn. Now that we've verbally assaulted boomers.
Yeah,
that's
fine. I'm good with that one.
Settle down, old man.
It's not like they don't deserve it.
Yeah, no, they should all settle down.
Yeah, every last one of them.
Let's talk about Marvel movies because, you know, the way that...
Let's prove our point.
Franny Ford and...
Scorcheesy.
Scorcheesy.
I like
yes.
it.
I like it.
The way that Frannie Ford and Scorcheesy were making Marvel movies out to, you know, well, not Marvel movies, but really all superhero films mm-hmm. out to be was, you know, just only playing for the you know the reaction of the audience yeah. right like that they're just
the explosion
they're just yeah they're
the
just
lowest
explosion.
Common denominator
yeah exactly
Maybe
right
that
they don't
DC
that they
movies.
Don't go any deeper right because that's I that's the subtext there right is
yeah.
that their films have a level of depth that superhero films could never achieve
and I'm gonna throw a wrench in that right now with one character, and that is Killmonger. And that is because the exploration of his character is so emotional to somebody like me, because black folks usually operate of one of two modes. Either it's, hey, I live in this society and I function in it, or I reject this wholly and I become radical and I hate everything that this society is built upon. And to see both of those things represented with respect on a screen was amazing to me, because that had never, ever in my life ever been represented to that level, especially in an action film. And Killmonger's last line of, if you bury me, throw me at sea, and put me with my ancestors, the ones that would rather die than live in bondage. And I was just like, I'm done. I'm out. And it was just, it happened. And I was like, if you want to tell me that topic couldn't be explored, the concept of black imperialism? Come on, buddy.
You know what? I got you.
Come on, buddy.
That's for you, Scorcheesy.
To say there's no depth in that.
Yeah. I'm actually going to reach all the way back to a class that I took up at Central Michigan University, and that was one of the cinema appreciation classes. And one of the first films that we had watched was The Deer Hunter. And the whole reason behind The Deer Hunter was because at the beginning, he talks about a phrase, and that's one shot, one bullet. And then by the end, that phrase means something completely different, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are Groot.
Oh.
And that's not even two people. That's a tree and a raccoon. And it made me feel more than most movies do in that moment.
We Are Groot was definitely a moment like, even as someone who went into that movie kicking and screaming and not wanting to see it at that end, I was like,
even in that moment, you understood what was happening,
yeah.
right?
And the importance of that.
And the importance of it. You knew that he was sacrificing himself, and it was sad, of course. But that moment that he says, "We are Groot," oh, I'm getting chills just thinking yeah. about it again, man.
Yeah,
good old.
Oh. So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna flash forward to Endgame because I've got two from Endgame, and one of them is gonna make Norris really mad, but I don't care. The moment where Paul Rudd
up.
Sorry, when Ant-Man sees his daughter again.
Oh.
And like, she opens the door and he sees her grown up now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That moment, like,
no, knowing how much time he lost.
Yeah.
No,
that was brutal.
You.
And then at
that
the end, of course, the end of the movie,
with
Happy sitting on the bench with Tony Stark's daughter.
Calling all the way back to the first movie with the hamburger.
With the hamburger. Yeah. Like, okay. Well, I guess I'm just going to sit here and cry now.
Yeah. That denouement is rough.
But yeah, I mean, oh, I'm sorry. Can I go one more?
Yes.
I just,
sure.
As we sat here, I literally thought about the moment that I think made me the most emotional in all of superhero movies, and it's the last place you'd expect it.
Mm.
It was Deadpool 2.
Wow.
In Deadpool 2, when he dies and she brings him through to the other side, and all the scarring goes away and he's just himself again.
Oh,
yeah. man.
Yeah.
I started crying in the theater during that part.
that
got me.
That was an emotional punch you were not expecting
from
a movie like that.
Not in Deadpool, especially.
No. Oh.
But that wasn't even the best Ant-Man moment to me from Endgame.
Oh, I have to know. What's the best Paul Rudd moment for Norris? The hater of Rudd.
Yes, no, let's hear
I'll
it.
Say this.
A man
the
who hates
time,
Paul Rudd
no,
for absolutely no reason.
The only time where I felt like, oh my God, in a brilliant moment of acting, directing, effects, everything synergized, is after the Hulk snaps the gauntlet and Paul Rudd walks out and he sees the two birds land on the thing and he goes, we did it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh shit, they killed Ant-Man. I literally screamed that out loud.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Damn. Thank you so much for having that, Robbie.
That wasn't even drop I had. I'm like scouring through Twitter trying to find the video of that to be able to play it.
Thank you so much. That needs to be a drop right now.
I'll look into it.
That's too funny.
We've all done multiple ones now.
Yeah, no,
the guy who watches them on a plane.
The one that sticks out to me the most is to be fair, it's kind of the whole arc of the movie, but it's the Doctor Strange,
the arc of his character,
the whole thing, because it takes until the moment where Tilda Swinton's character, I can't remember,
the ancient one
says it's not about you.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's a good moment.
Oh, that kills me every time, because he's
been a lot of times in his life where Nate thinks it's all about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably fair.
But again, it these films have something for so many people, and you pulled that out of that film, which I think is a tragically underrated Marvel film, by the way.
I love Doctor Strange.
Let me pose this to you, right? Because I think another one of my favorite moments. I don't know that necessarily pushed me to tears, but it was still very impactful. And that's in Civil War, the fight that goes on between Captain America, Bucky, and Iron Man, right?
Yeah.
Taking a situation like that, you could put that in any film. I'm sure if we scoured, we could find films where that type of thing goes down and where they push each other and fight each other almost to the bitter end. Are you now telling me that because two of them have super strength, a metal arm, and one guy's in a suit, that because that's been added into the equation, that it somehow makes it less?
Right, the story being told is lesser somehow?
Because this comes down to is that because these movies have explosions or superpowers or guys with laser beams in their eyes, that lessens the impact of the human element.
Isn't that sort of in the same way what, you know, Coppola was doing with things like The Godfather?
Yes.
It's a movie about criminals, but it's not really about crime. It's about this family.
Yes. It was a deconstruction of mob.
There was a story within a story there that if you understood the beats of mob movies that had come for 30 years previous, that you could unravel the subtext.
Yeah.
Right? That's the exact same shit that he did. He did the same thing with Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
And he did it with 40, 50 years of war films that had come before.
Yeah.
Why is it so strange to these old assholes that the same thing can be done with a dude in tights with a huge hammer and another dude who wears red, white, and blue? Like, why is that foreign to them?
Because how is that any different from Jason Bourne and a gun?
It's not.
Or a hammer a stick or it, because it's not different. It's not different.
How is it different than Bond?
Yeah, because if you're going to tell me that this is not good filmmaking, watch Spider-Man Homecoming when they're all in the car on the way to that dance.
Ooh.
And tell
oh my
me
God,
that is not is brilliant
chilling.
Fucking filmmaking.
Yeah. I still need to see that movie.
The Homecoming.
Go watch
Homecoming.
It.
When he's that, in the car
the
with one.
Not far from Vulture. Tell me that is not one of the most brilliant
when
moments.
He makes the connection.
And he makes the connection and you see it. You see it on his face.
Yep.
And it's like, tell me that ain't the height of tension, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on.
I think it's intensely unfair to single these types of movies out because they do well. And that seems to really be what it is that, you know, these guys have had successful filmmaking careers. The terrain has shifted underneath them, and I can understand how they can have some sour grapes about it, but just admit that you have sour grapes.
And I'll say this. And enjoy
the money that Netflix and Hulu and all of these different platforms are going to be able to continue to make you.
Yeah.
And I just get angry at it because this is the same stuff that those who came before them said about their films and the violence and the profanity and the content that was in their films. It's the same thing.
Yep.
And you would think after all this time, somebody would say, you know what? That's their thing, not my thing, but...
Doesn't it depress you to know in 30 years we'll be saying that about some new genre of film?
I refuse to believe that.
I hope.
No,
I hope you're
you know
right.
What?
I refuse to believe that.
Because here's the thing. I think that we kind of actually went through that a little bit with Fortnite. And while we all can agree Fortnite is not our type of game, we see the impact that it's had on the industry.
Yeah, and I can't call it a shit game.
Yeah.
No, I will never
Nobody in this room can call it a shit game.
I can't argue that.
It's not
I can say
there.
I don't like it. I don't want to play it.
I do think that it's important to note some of the voices that you don't really see in this conversation. You know, you don't see your David Lynch's out there talking about how superhero movies are ruining your ability to make movies.
You don't see Inarritu saying this. You don't see Quaron saying this.
You don't see Quentin Tarantino. Nope. You don't see Oliver Stone. And I think that these are guys who have not just made critically acclaimed films, but they've also made some really bad movies in there too, or movies that people don't really understand. So they've seen more of both sides of it as opposed to being largely lauded by the Academy for the vast majority of your work. I mean, I think David Lynch is only getting an honorary Academy Award this year. And that dude, he's been making movies since 1972.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that it's an interesting conversation, you know, and what we've talked about has been really interesting. But I would just like them to shut up and allow people to make their friggin' money.
I actually found a quote from David Lynch, not specifically on Marvel movies, but this was made around the time that Twin Peaks was returning to TV. So in general, I think he was still commenting on them. But he says, so many films were not doing well at the box office, even though they might have been great films. And the things that were doing well at the box office weren't the things that I would want to do. I can respect that.
That's a totally respectable statement.
Yes.
Instead of coming out and saying superhero films are despicable. He literally just says, it's not my bag.
Yeah. That's great. Hey,
can we end this on a quote from Steven Spielberg?
We absolutely can.
Every time I go to a movie, it's magic, no matter what the movie's about.
There it is.
It's a great quote to end on.
There it is, Esteban Spielbergo.
And you know what? I don't think you would automatically assume these guys in this conversation to be the level-headed ones.
Mm-hmm. No, not typically.
Anyway, thanks for joining us for this discussion today on the Checkpoint XP podcast. CheckpointXP.com is where you can find out more info about the show, interviews from past episodes, and a whole lot more. It's CheckpointXP.com. Stay up to date on all the latest by following us on social media. That's CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And if you like the show, consider dropping by our Apple Podcast feed and giving us a rating and a review. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. For the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to the Checkpoint XP podcast. Make sure you subscribe to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, tune into our weekly radio show. For more information and the latest on esports and gaming, go to CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.